Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
I named the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one, because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim.
And I'm Frank.
And today we are drinking not your father's root beer.
Oh, then whose root beer is it?
It's my father's.
No, but I thought it was not your father's.
No, it's small town brewery's father's.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
This is a really good root beer.
I know. I'm still working because I bought two cases of it. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. This is like a, it tastes just like a non-alcoholic root beer.
Right.
But it's 5.9% alcohol.
Like, I know.
Really good.
I know. I know you love it. I love it.
I could drink it all day. I'm really, really enjoying it quite a bit. So, yeah. Great root beer. Before we get started, so I'm super jazzed. We both saw Jurassic World.
I'm going to do that every time, so just keep talking.
Yeah. We both saw Jurassic World, and did you rewatch Jurassic Park recently?
I did, before okay. Jurassic World came
I did too.
Out.
Okay, yeah. Great. So we can talk about that first, maybe, and then kind of meander our way into Jurassic World. But
sure.
I wanted to do a little bit of follow-up first. We don't do this very often, but I wanted to thank all you guys who've left us iTunes reviews, and we're hoping to get some more of these. The ones you've gotten have been great, and reviews and ratings, even as a star rating, even if you don't write a review, is perfectly fine and very, very helpful. So thank you to those of you who have. And I wanted to highlight one in particular. The one from Pilgrim Charlie 86, who says, the discussions between Frank and Tim make for a very enjoyable commute to and from work in my car. Thank you very much, Charlie. But he goes on to say, the nostalgia element is a huge part of why I enjoy the topics as I reminisce along with them. Love the Nintendo holiday and Harry Potter episodes especially. Looking forward to keeping listening to more episodes of Beer with Geeks. Thank you very much, Pilgrim Charlie 86.
Yeah,
we really appreciate
thank
that.
Thank you.
That really makes our day. When we get a good review.
Pilgrim on a journey. Wicked to the Beer with Geeks. And he likes the things we say. Because we reminisce about 90s. We reminisce about life.
Yeah, but like when we get a good review, it makes our day, and it helps us promote the show. It keeps us out there in the iTunes world, and helps us get more traction there. So thank you to those of you who have left a review, and if you haven't yet, please take a moment and find us on iTunes, Spirit Geeks, and leave us a quick star rating or review. We'd appreciate it. So thank
Sweet.
You.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you much.
Indeed.
You know what else I appreciate?
What?
Dinosaurs.
Na, 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 na. All right, I'm done.
They are dinosaurs.
Oh, my God. What the heck?
Bleep.
We don't swear here.
If I had to bleep you out, I would have used R2-D2 sounds to bleep you out.
What? Oh, I want to start over again. Oh, my God. Oh, look. It's a dinosaur. Oh, my God. What the fuck? Oh, my goodness. So, anyway, Jurassic Park 1993. I have good stories.
Yes, you do. And you've told this on the show before, but it's a good story.
I can repeat the story.
Please do.
Extra stories, actually.
There are more stories
there
where that came
more,
from?
There are more stories where this came from. There
oh
are
boy.
More stories.
This is a treat.
All right, so I'll start with my original. I'll start with my original story.
Oh, yes.
It was 1993, Memorial Day weekend.
Ooh.
Jurassic Park was set out to make millions of dollars. Some would say $65 million.
Because that's how many years ago?
Yeah. I made that up myself.
Such a nerd.
I know.
What a nerd.
And so I wanted to be a paleontologist when I was a kid. In the worst way.
In the best way.
Yeah. And so my brother and I, my older brother and I, who's 2 years older than I am, begged my parents to take us to this movie because we were little. And so they caved. My dad stayed home with my sister, and mom took us. And I was all excited. We had our drinks. We had our food. I was on the innermost part. Then it was my mom. Then it was my brother on the aisle. And Jurassic Park only has 8 minutes of dinosaurs in the whole movie.
What?
It's a 2-hour movie. If you add up everything together, it's 8 minutes of dinosaurs.
Wow.
Isn't that nuts?
That is crazy.
Yeah. And so, you know, arguably, so I'm waiting for dinosaurs for quite a long time.
Sure.
You know, and so, so the T-Rex breaks out of its paddock, finally. Boom.
Yep.
All that stuff. Yeah.
Yep.
And, his vision is based on movement, so I'm not moving at all.
Right.
Right. Okay. And so, like, finally, obviously, my time has come, you know?
Yeah.
And my brother leans into my mom at that moment where the T-Rex is looking at the kids and through the mirror, and he says, "Mom, we have to leave now." She says, "No, it's okay. You know, you'll be fine. It's almost over." And he says, "No, we have to leave now." And, "No, we're going to stay. It's fine. You're fine." And then he stands up in the theater and goes, "Mom, we have to leave now." And so we left, and I never saw the end of that movie. And he had the gall to look at toys in the toy aisle with me and be like, "Oh, we never saw that part of the movie," or, "That was in the movie theater, but it won't be on the VHS." I hate you so much. And so I still make fun. I made fun of him when he saw Jurassic World.
Yeah.
He came over to visit me today, in fact.
Yeah.
He came over to visit me, and we were talking about Jurassic World, and I said, "Oh, did you like it?" And he said, "Yeah, I really he said, "I loved it a lot." I said, "Oh, did you leave?" And he just kind of went,
That's about the reaction I expected from him.
Yeah, he was not thrilled. So that's my number one story about Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Here's my second story.
Okay.
This is brand new. I don't think I've told you this.
Oh, goody.
Okay, so a couple weeks ago I was on Redbubble.
Okay.
T-shirt
site.
Yes. And they were having a super special sale.
Oh.
Dr. Grant's paleontology t-shirt. Okay. And it had the bones of the fossils of the Velociraptor, like the one they're uncovering in Snakewater, Montana. So it's this, so on the shirt it's black and it says Dr. Grant's paleontology, and it's got the fossils, and it's got his name and Ellie Sattler's name as a paleobotanist, and then it says Salt Snakewater, Montana.
Right.
Dig site or something like that underneath. It's a great shirt. I wore it to work. Did I tell you the story?
No,
I didn't tell you the story. Okay. So I wore it to work. And these were the two responses that I got. One was, "Oh, nice shirt. Can't wait to see Jurassic World, blah, blah, blah."
Right.
The other one was, "Oh, you've been to Montana."
No.
Like, I love Montana. I've been there before. Oh, I have a so and so that lives in Montana. Where's Snakewater, Montana?
Oh.
And so my reaction to this went in two ways.
Yeah.
One, it was it's a Jurassic Park reference.
Right,
it's from Jurassic Park. And they would go, "Oh.
Sorry."
That's it. Or I would say, "Yeah."
Yeah, it was great.
It was great. I said I wanted to be a paleontologist when I was a kid, but then I realized I was bad at science, so I'm not. Yeah. Which is true. That part of the story is true. But that's not why I own the shirt. Maybe in small part it is. So I'm not really lying to these fine people. But I think I already said yes to like one or two people.
Just to see how
it went. Because it was by the end of the day, and I was just so tired of people asking questions.
Yeah.
So I was just like, "Yes, I've been to Montana."
Yes.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
I think I have been to Montana. Maybe I haven't. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. How would I know?
Is that where the Purple Mountains Majesty are?
Yep, all the purple ones.
Oh, okay. Then I haven't been there. I haven't seen those.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't remember quite the first time. I think I probably saw it maybe in fourth grade. I was a little bit older when I first saw it. I definitely didn't see it when it first came out because I was... I was all of 4 years old, and I think I probably would have been a little terrified that age. But I first saw it in probably fourth or fifth grade, and I could not at that age fully appreciate what I was seeing, right? The filmmaking genius that went into that movie. I could not fully appreciate. But I do remember Spared No Expense.
Spared No Expense.
Actually, okay, this is funny. I watched it for the first time in school. And
how old were you?
Like I said, fourth or fifth grade. And we were doing, because we were doing like a, in like earth science, we were doing a chapter on like, on dinosaurs, right? And I'm like digging out, on like paleontology.
Mm.
And so the teacher thought like, oh, we'll watch the movie. And in order to keep us engaged and paying attention to the movie.
Because it's only 8 minutes of dinosaurs.
Right.
Yeah.
She gave us a worksheet and we had to like answer questions. This is like all the rage when I was in like fourth, fifth, sixth grade.
What, giving worksheets while watching?
Giving a worksheet, and you had to like fill out the, you know, like how many fingers does he hold up in this scene? Like just to make sure you're paying attention.
Schools are still doing that. Yeah, just FYI.
Well, anyway, so I remember the question was how many times does he say "spared no expense"? So I had to like throughout the entire movie, anytime that Hammond was on the screen,
tally him off.
Yeah, anytime he was on the screen, I was like, okay, get ready, he might say it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Because normally when I get those worksheets or when I give those worksheets or something like that, it's always the, what the lighting in the scene, this and this, the theme of this, blah, blah, blah. I should totally
just that's that a lot way. More. See, yours, that's a lot more nuanced. Mine was a lot more like, what does he say here? What does what restaurant are they eating at in this scene? Like that kind of thing.
Who gets eaten off a toilet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To see, just to keep you paying attention from this scene to the next one.
Interesting.
Less of like the, no, analyze the, because we were fifth graders, so like we weren't going to do that. But
right.
But yeah, just sort of like, how many times did he say spare no expense? How many, you know, whatever.
Spare no expense.
How does he prove chaos theory to her? You know, what does he...
With the water.
With the water.
Had no idea what any of that meant when I was little.
No. No idea.
Oh, my God.
So, but now I rewatched it, and I've watched it many times since, but most recently, you know, right before seeing Jurassic World, 2 days before, and, man, does that movie still hold up?
Yeah.
It still holds up.
All of it.
Even every the CG looks pretty good.
Every single part of that film holds up. Well, there's only, like... 82 effects, special effect shots in the whole film.
That's
the rest
crazy,
of it's
yeah.
practical.
Yeah.
So you think about the amount of time that they're working on this film, how much time they have to get that working. Plus, none of it is CG bat. Like, there's no green screen or anything like that. It's all CG. It's all CG plants inside either a real set or the hills of Hawaii or something like that. Mountains of Hawaii.
Hawaii. Yeah.
All right.
It's brilliant. I mean, it looks great, and the story is great. Spielberg's brilliant. You know,
I mean, he was working at Schindler's List at the same time.
I know. Which
can you imagine Jurassic Park and Schindler's List coming out in the same year? Like,
dude, I can't even.
Like, well, can't even. I can't. We were alive, but
I can't,
don't get this.
I can't fathom it. Yeah. I can't fathom it.
A director doing those two big films.
Arguably, like, his two best, like, two most
maybe
loved
some
films.
Of his best films.
Yeah, some of his best work.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. He'll be remembered for those two. He'll remember for those, for Jaws, you know, Close Encounters, maybe, you know, but, I mean.
But, like, those.
E.T.
E.T., yeah.
Indiana Jones. Oh, my God. He'll be remembered for a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, really, if you just said Jurassic Park and Schindler's List, like, that alone is something to be proud of, to be remembered by.
Yeah, most filmmakers are lucky to make one good movie.
Yeah.
Never mind several.
In fact, that he made two
in the same
at the same
year.
Time. Yeah.
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 Yep. Unfreaking believable.
Amazing. Yeah.
What's your favorite part about Jurassic Park?
My favorite part, meaning favorite scene or like favorite theme, favorite?
Both.
Okay. My favorite scene is definitely the T-Rex going on the loose. My favorite thematic element, life finds a way. Life finds a way. You can't mess with life. Life's gonna get you.
Yeah.
Life's going to get you. You flew too close to the sun, humans. You and your hubris.
Life finds a way. Oh, yes. Yes. Apparently, during the work of Jurassic World, there was a stand-up of Jeff Goldblum.
Yes, I did hear this.
Shirtless Jeff Goldblum.
I did hear this. And they're passing it around.
They're passing it around. Yes. Now it's in an office of some other show or something like that.
We definitely listened to the same interview with Colin
Trevorrow. Yeah. Oh, yes, we did. Yes.
Yeah, because I think it was either on Empire Podcast.
It was the Empire Podcast, yeah. I didn't know you still listen to the Empire Podcast.
Yeah, I do.
Or do you listen to all of them or just the...
No, when I like the topic or I like the guest. Yeah. Yeah, but I still subscribe, and I listen when I like it.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm glad we shared the same story.
No, I mean so. That's anyway, so special. Speaking of Colin Trevorrow, and speaking of Jurassic World, let's speak of Jurassic World.
Of Jurassic World. Okay.
Shall we? Unless you had some closing thoughts on Jurassic Park.
I mean, I could spend the next 15 minutes talking about Jurassic Park, so... Yeah.
We should do a dedicated Jurassic Park episode one of these days.
We could totally do that.
Just do the first movie, but let's talk Jurassic World.
Okay, so... Do you want to do a non-spoiler review and then do a spoiler review?
No, we're spoiling this. We're spoiling this mother.
Okay, well, you're done now if you haven't seen it. Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Okay, so the Hot Topic, let's start right off the bat.
The t-shirts at Hot Topic, right?
Yes.
Am I right, guys?
Dinosaurs on them.
Crazy.
Claire running in heels.
Okay, so why is that the big thing that everyone's taking away from this movie? I mean, like, I did notice. I definitely noticed it while I was watching.
Yeah, I noticed
like,
it too.
That definitely seems weird. But, like, she wasn't going to kick off her heels and run barefoot through the jungle. She wasn't going to, like, go, be right back. I'm just going to run to my office and get my flats real quick.
Yeah.
The only thing I could possibly see her doing is when they were in the gift shop,
mm-hmm.
is being like, I'm going to grab these like ugly Jurassic World Crocs and wear these instead. But that was the end of the movie anyway, so what's the difference?
Right, I agree.
So like, I think that that's a little bit overblown, people looking for something to get up in arms about.
I agree. And on top of that, I saw this with a friend of mine who did, a girl who did notice, and the first thing she said after the film, she turned to me and she says, "The real hero of that movie is Claire."
Yes.
Running in heels.
I totally did notice the entire movie. I was like, she is running in heels this entire film.
But someone made an excellent point, and I can't remember who for the life of me now, is that when you sprint, you're only running on the front of your foot.
Mm.
So you're not making your whole foot go down. So technically, you can sprint in heels. It is possible.
Yeah, but I don't know if women listening to this would agree with that entirely.
This coming from a girl who probably has sprinted in heels before, so... And you get chased by a T-Rex. Who knows what you are capable of?
Well, yeah. Adrenaline.
Yeah.
But all I will say is...
This movie's about dinosaurs, people.
Chris Pratt
ran
in heels on The Late Late Show with James Corden.
Did he really?
Yeah. They made him do it. It was really
funny. That's awesome. Did he do it?
He did it. He did it pretty well, too, actually.
Yeah.
I thought that... Fantastic. Like, the dinosaurs looked amazing. The story held together pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I loved all
life
the...
found more ways.
More ways.
Yeah.
I like the callbacks to the original Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
This is a movie that you can watch having only seen the first one. Don't have to worry about rewatching second or third.
I thought this was actually even a film that you could watch without seeing the first
one. That's true.
I was kind of watching it with that in mind just to see for the heck of it. And you don't really miss a lot. You might be like, "Oh, who's Hammond?" or like,
sure,
things like that, but it's really more, if that way, it's more about, like, what happened 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Because they don't really say, as a viewer, if you didn't know, you'd be really intrigued.
And you'd want to go back and watch it.
You'd want to go back, yeah.
Yeah. That's true. You could absolutely get away without watching it, and I'm sure it was done that way by design.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have only seen the first one, or if you've seen the first one, if like me, you've seen the first one many times, and you've only seen the second and third, like, once a piece, which is my case.
Right.
I did not feel like I suffered at all for that. And it was because I'd heard that from a bunch of reviews.
You didn't need to see two or three.
Yeah. I didn't bother rewatching two or three. I rewatched the first one.
I watched the CinemaSins for two and three.
I should have done that, actually. I very much wanted to rewatch the first one because it's one of my favorite films. And I wanted just to get in the mindset. But I didn't feel like I missed that at all by not rewatching two and three. So if you're looking to get off the hook with that, then...
Yeah.
You're good.
Well, they take place on different islands, so there's almost... Yeah,
but nothing...
The only thing that might cross over that would be worth mentioning at one point was maybe the Tyrannosaurus Rex attack of San Diego.
Yeah.
But even then,
Yeah, meh.
Man. But this is a film that I was trepidatious about watching. Even with good reviews and a great trailer and all those things, I was kind of like, all right, Velociraptor team up with humans and...
You had your doubts.
And genetically enhanced dinosaurs. I had my doubts. And the film blew them out of the water. Both were so cool.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Well, a friend of mine saw Jurassic World before I did, and I said, how dumb is the Velociraptor training thing? And he said, not dumb at all. And I said, why? And he said, well, they're trained just about as much as you can train cats, if that makes any sense. So they're not like, listen, they're not really trained. They're choosing to, well, as the film says, look at him as the alpha male.
Yes.
The film is choosing to, they're choosing to do that.
Right.
And that made me feel a lot better about it. I mean, they're also freaking dinosaurs.
I mean, so,
yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a good description. It is kind of like training cats. Like, they're somewhat, like, they understand, you know, like, a cat understands its name when it hears it, but it's not going to, like, obey your every command.
You know, or any of them.
It's going to do what it wants to do.
It's going to come to you when it sees that it's necessary for it to come to you.
Right.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a good comparison. I mean, Chris Pratt, his character was... I mean, he could just take on the role of being like the Harrison Ford of the generation, you know?
Yeah,
Star-Lord,
definitely.
And now this character.
Because this is basically his Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Unless he is Indiana Jones.
He's definitely not going to be Indiana Jones.
I wish he was, though.
He's already 36.
I know, but who cares?
Yeah, but by the time they get Indiana Jones off the ground, he might be in his 40s by then.
Who cares?
I do, kind of.
Really. I don't really. But anyway, I mean, by then someone else might come around. But right now, I'm like, I could totally see him.
He's already. This is because both Guardians and Jurassic World were so successful. Those are his two franchises.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be tied to those for a long time.
That's probably true.
And so that's really why I don't want to see, because one of those is going to suffer somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And I'd rather just get two good ones and hope somebody comes along and does Indiana Jones better.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's fine. Though he would make a great Indiana Jones.
He would. He absolutely would.
But I would also feel like maybe I was watching this character as
that's
Indiana
probably
Jones.
You know what, that is probably true. I will agree with you on that.
A lot of people said like he'd make a great Indiana Jones after watching this film, and I was watching. I was like, he kind of is Indiana Jones.
Yeah, maybe he would make a good Indiana Jones if he hadn't been in this film.
yeah. I feel like this was his Indiana Jones. Yeah. But I mean, everybody's got one of the, like, Brendan Fraser had the Mummy.
Yep,
that was his Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's kind of. You know, there are those types of characters around.
Sure.
But he is kind of like Indy in that way, where he doesn't really learn anything, you know?
Yeah, no, he doesn't.
He comes in, he's badass, he leaves, he's badass.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. He doesn't really change much, he doesn't learn. So in that sense, you could say that he didn't develop much as a character.
Yeah,
he
but I didn't want him to.
Neither did I. It didn't bother me that he didn't develop. But it's a fact, he didn't really develop. Claire, on the other hand, did.
A lot. This was really her film.
Yeah, and I was having this conversation with someone at work yesterday, and they were saying, like, I don't feel like any of the characters grew. And I was like, I think Claire absolutely grew.
Yeah.
I mean, she had a very clear arc. A textbook. Like, she came in and all she cared about was work. She didn't see people as people. She didn't see the dinosaurs as creatures, as living creatures. And she was just very self-centered and focused on her career. And, you know, by the end of it, she is caring for her nephews, caring for the animals, caring for people around her, caring for, I can't remember Chris Pratt's character's name. It's driving me crazy.
Owen O'Grady.
Owen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Owen. Yeah. Caring for him. Yeah. So, like, I feel like she absolutely grew, where she stopped caring about herself so damn much and thought of others around her for a change.
Yeah, I am 110%.
And learned how to run in heels. No, let's not forget that part.
Maybe she was practicing in her office. I don't know. You know, I liked her story, and there were people who attacked this film for being anti-feminist and all this stuff, but she was a very strong character. I haven't really looked at, to be fair, I haven't really looked at those articles or anything like that.
Yeah.
But just because I enjoyed the movie, and this is how I saw her as a very strong character. I'm not interested in having that opinion changed, because I do see her as, you know, she was strong, independent. She ran this huge park.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, she was the woman in charge of the entire operation.
Right, yeah. And if it was a guy running the whole thing and being like, oh, I don't remember my nephew's ages,
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody would bat an eyelash.
Right.
You know, so, I don't know.
Are you using your one lookup right now?
I'm losing my one lookup because I had a comment to make, and I can't. It's gonna be because...
It's gonna be May.
It's gonna be May. And
Tim is...
Ty Simpkins.
Ty Simpkins
is one of the nephews, the younger nephew.
Yes.
This kid has had quite a career for himself.
So he looked familiar.
Yes, he was the tiny kid that gave... He was the tiny kid in Iron Man 3 that gave Tony Stark... Yeah,
it's
the
same
kid. Yeah.
Okay.
This kid's doing really well for himself.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, that's why. He was also been in 2 Insidious films.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
Which are also quite good.
Okay.
Very different, but quite good.
I haven't seen those.
Yeah, like, this kid's career is better than some adults that...
Yeah.
So, I just wanted to point him out. I thought he was very good.
He was.
I didn't find the kids annoying in the film.
I found the older... brother very annoying
with his staring. What do you think's gonna happen to that? Like, what do you think's gonna happen if you keep staring at
him? I just wanted him to get his head bitten off in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Really?
The older brother he was annoying me so much. I couldn't,
because he's just a typical 15-16 year old teenager.
So annoying. Yeah, I mean, once the dinosaurs were chasing them and he kind of snapped into responsible big brother mode, fine. But he was not... I didn't think he really brought much to the movie at all, even then. And I didn't care for his character at all. Like, he could have died and I wouldn't have cared.
I can kind of see that, but I am glad that the kids made it out alive.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, on principle, I'm like, yay, the good guys won. But
yeah,
you know.
What about Vincent D'Onofrio, his character?
Okay, I will tell you the truth. I saw the movie, and I was like...
You look familiar.
The hair and the mustache threw me off. I didn't recognize him.
Yeah.
Did not recognize him. And it was only right after the film, I met up with a friend who had also just seen it the day before, and he was like, how great was D'Onofrio, right? And I was like...
Oh,
that was Wilson Fisk. That's why. And like, even thinking that, I was like, I know his voice sounded familiar.
It's a good actor.
Oh yeah, he's a hell of a good actor.
Well, his
good year for him.
Wilson Fisk voice is quite different.
They said he said that in he was doing ADR, so he was like, you know, recording over some of his lines in post production. I think it was Colin Trevorrow told the story in a different podcast.
Yeah,
or maybe the same one. And that he came back in and he had done Daredevil since they had wrapped
shooting. I did all know this.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
I didn't know this.
Since they'd wrapped shooting Jurassic World, and he came in and he starts doing his voiceovers on his own stuff, and he's doing his Wilson Fisk voice, and they were like, whoa, what'd you do? And he's like, oh, sorry, I've been doing a different character, and I forgot my Jursic
character
voice.
Yeah.
Let me get back. Me.
I forgot my regular voice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I liked him. I liked him in it quite a bit. I thought maybe the whole military thing was a little shoehorned. Like, I have heard some criticism, like, Mr. Pratt there, if you're a Marine, how did you not know this is what you were training them for? What were you training them for?
I had the same thought. Yeah, you should have seen this coming.
I assumed they were kind of training the Raptors for, like a dolphin show type thing.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, I can see that.
That's
yeah.
right. But they're not in the regular park. They're not. Outskirts.
They're separate. Yeah.
So... And with the trouble that the Raptors gave last time, I was even kind of surprised to see that, like, they would...
Well, I mean, the whole movie, right, is like, with the trouble you had last time, I can't believe you're doing this again.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
That's true, but that's the point of the movie.
Yeah.
Right. So, you want it bigger, you want it better, so on and so forth.
Again, flying too close to the sun, life finds a way.
Right. I did like Ian Malcolm's book as a cameo.
Yes, I thought that was cool, too.
God Creates Dinosaurs. Yeah.
Yes. That was cool.
Yep.
That was cool. I thought there was, and that showed up in a couple places, the book.
Oh, I only saw it on the anti-Nedry table.
The assistant, what's her name?
Oh, she was carrying
it around too.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, so
that's
it was in a couple places, yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of the assistant, let's talk about her brutal death.
Oof.
Yeah.
I thought, so people are a little up in arms about that too, saying she didn't deserve it. And I think that there's a little bit of a hint of realism there where it's like, well, yeah, but bad things happen to good people sometimes.
Was she really that good of a person?
She wasn't a bad person, you know. No. I mean, she was not a good caretaker of the kids.
No, she wasn't.
But she wasn't a bad person at all.
No, and she also, as Colin Trevorrow said, she had the privilege of being the first woman to ever die on
that's true
in a Jurassic Park
which
film.
I had never thought about.
I hadn't either. But three films up until that, now four, not one woman had died. And so yeah. Let's make it spectacular. She has this honor. It's a disaster movie, you know.
Right. It's a horror movie.
It's a horror movie. Right. So I don't again. I don't get it as much just because, like, I'm looking at it as a film. This is a genre film in which people die.
Yes.
I don't think hers was the most horrific out of...
No, but it was maybe the most acrobatic.
Yes. Maybe the most horrifying for her.
Yeah.
I think she's still alive. She's basically Jonah in the belly of the Mosasaurus.
Yeah.
Mimosasaurus?
Mimosas. Ooh.
Ooh. Mimosasaurus. I think it's Mimosasaurus.
It's a Mimosasaurus?
Which is not a dinosaur.
Under FYI. The sea.
Yeah. Well, under the sea. Dun, dun,
dun, dun. I also like how we have, like, oh, well, these are genetically modified hybrids that, you know, we throw in this, like, turtle DNA or whatever, you know, and that's why they don't have feathers, and that's why
actually,
they don't...
I liked that.
I liked that a lot.
Especially since we know what we know about dinosaurs yes. now and what they're closely related to, even from 20 years ago. Yes. I liked them saying, like, if you wanted dinosaurs, we could give you real dinosaurs, but that's not what you wanted.
Right.
You wanted monsters, so we gave you monsters.
You wanted something bigger and more spectacular. I also just like the idea that, like, the DNA has broken down too much for us to, like, there's holes in the sequencing and we need to plug those holes with something else.
Right.
I like that. I think that seems logical to me as someone who is not knowledgeable of these things. Seems like, yeah, that makes sense that, like, 65 million years, you know, would go by and right. some of the DNA would break down. So you'd have to fill in the blanks with something.
Right. Well, you really can't get yeah. blood out of a mosquito out of amber. It's impossible. Right. So you can reverse engineer, like Jack Horner is engineering a dinosaur.
Yes.
You heard about this, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. For those of you who haven't, Jack Horner, the paleontologist, reverse engineering a chicken to be more like a dinosaur. So you change some of the genes. It grows a tail. It grows a snout instead of a beak, so mm-hmm. on and so forth. But that's about as close as we're getting
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That interview with him, actually, that interview with Jack Horner is really funny because I don't know if you've seen it.
No.
But he's talking about doing this, and he says, well, the way the technology is, you could have eventually, maybe like 5, 10, 20 years, you could have some form of a Jurassic Park. Mm. And the audience starts to applaud, and he turns to you like, did you not see the movie? Like, no, it's a very bad idea. You know, like, what's a bad idea? Yeah. So
damn you kids.
I know.
Sneaking your DNA out in Barbasol cans.
Yeah. I still... want to get Barbasol just to unscrew.
I have Barbasol.
Do you really? Yeah. Just there's actually something you could buy online. It's like a little safe, but it is the Barbasol.
Yeah, that's cool.
But if I got it, everyone's going to know why I have yeah. that. Well, now they do because I just put it out on the
way
internet.
To go and say it on the internet.
Yeah.
Good job.
Good job. Well,
jeez, Tim.
What am I going to put in there? Chromosomes?
Your keys?
Yeah.
Chromosomes? Your keys?
Yeah. Starts with a hard K sound. Yeah. All right. Yeah. What did you think of the Indominus Rex? We haven't even talked about
her
yet.
She was amazing. I actually thought she was really cool. I was a little disappointed because I had seen in the trailers, I had seen enough of her.
Okay.
That I felt like I was getting spoiled a little bit. So I stopped watching the trailers a while back. Mm-hmm. I saw the trailer that was attached to Avengers with
yep.
you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just stopped watching Jurassic World trailers at that point because I had just seen too much. More than I wanted to see. Mm-hmm. But she was majestic and terrifying
yeah.
in every way.
I don't get scared at movies often, but I was getting nervous
yeah.
at different parts yeah. of this movie. Like, I just didn't know.
Yeah, and I saw this movie in 3D, which I don't normally do, but it was the only showing that I had time for.
Right.
So I went ahead and saw it in 3D, and it was worth it, actually.
Really?
I don't normally go for 3D, and I don't normally... approve of it, but this was worth it. It was good.
Oh, that's good to know.
It was.
That's good
yeah.
to know. Yeah. You're not the first person to say that to me,
really?
Actually, about the 3D.
It was just my opinion. Indominus looked especially menacing in 3D, I thought.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I thought it looked really good. I did not see that she was part raptor. Like, I should have. Like, the signs were there.
Yeah, I should have,
too. Like, she kind of looked like one, and they wouldn't tell what it was made out yeah. of, and, like, stuff like that. But when they started talking, I was like, oh, right. That
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah. When they all started talking to each other, I was like, oh, that's the missing link.
Yeah. Yeah. The Someone made a point that they're like, oh, they're communicating. Like,
yeah.
Animals communicate. Of course they're communicating.
Right, but not by when you, yeah.
The other thing is that if she has been in captivity all this time, she's basically like, she's never experienced anything that she is looking to for the first time. So where is this coming from with this communication with the pack?
That's a good point. That's a plot hole.
I think that's a tiny plot hole.
We're supposed to believe that it's on instinct or it's...
Well, I think some of it's on instinct, but like the
ability,
like being an alpha and choosing, but I think that's what you raised in that group.
It's to be socialized that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right.
Right.
Like I said, the plot doesn't completely hold together. I mean, you know, I've never seen a movie that I would say completely holds together in every way.
No, you could always find a loophole in some plot. There's a great one with Avengers where it's like, oh, no, Ultron's gone. But then he's like, oh, nope, he's in the internet. Oh, my bank account's gone. Oh, like he's destroying the Quinjets. Like,
Yeah.
You know, exactly. He could do a lot more damage really fast if he wanted to.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. But you know. It's a very good summer blockbuster popcorn movie. Really fun. I do look forward to seeing it again soon. I really, really enjoyed the hell out of it. And I need to see it a second time so that I can fully digest a lot of things that I know I missed the first time. People pointed out to me things that are references to the first movie, stuff like that I need to go back and watch again.
Cool.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, favorite dinosaur in this film?
The T-Rex or the T-Rex save the day. Like, I never thought I would be rooting.
Same T-Rex, too.
Same T-Rex,
yeah.
Which I didn't realize when I was watching it.
Yeah, you can see the scars on the side from the raptor text.
It didn't occur to me. But someone pointed it out afterwards, and I was like, that makes sense. It's only been, like, 20 years. Like, should totally be alive.
Yeah, well, I would assume. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Freaking loved the T-Rex. It was a
nice hold and then reveal.
Yeah.
That end fight was really spectacular.
Same with, the Indominus, like not showing us the whole dinosaur, holding it back. That felt very Spielberg, very Jaws.
Hold it back.
Don't show us until we need to see it.
Yeah, Jaws was because they had no choice. But
yes,
but it's such a good film technique. Yeah, it works really well.
It is.
My favorite was the Momosaurus.
Mimosasaurus.
Yeah,
Bloody Mary saurus.
Momosaurus. I think it's Momosaurus. I'm fairly certain because the deep sea water creatures freak me out.
Oh yeah,
like because the ocean kind of freaks me out that way. The unknown, and so stuff like giant squids or megalodons and stuff like that always really fascinated me, and so I was a big fan. I was a big fan of that. And she kind of saves the day too. Because the T-Rex wouldn't have won without her.
Mosasaurus.
You're
close. Not Moma. Mosa.
Mosasaurus. Yeah. I was really close.
You were very close.
Yeah, I was really close. And this is why I'm not a paleontologist.
It's all right. From now on, it will be called the Mimosasaurus.
Yeah. Okay, so you can follow us on Twitter at BeerWithGeeks or at Frank Ramblings or at Tim_Gannon. You can rate us on iTunes. We can have it read out loud on the air.
That's right.
You can Facebook.com/BeerWithGeeks or
Twitter.com.
I did that one.
BeerWithGeeks@gmail.com.
That's the one. Email us your thoughts on Jurassic World, Jurassic Park, dinosaurs in general.
Mimosas. Amazing.
You know, we should probably get some mimosas in here. It's summertime.
Ooh, yeah, we should do a brunch beer. Brunch with geeks.
Oh, we totally could do brunch with geeks. Yeah.
We'll work on this.
Yes.
All right.
All right.
Until then.
Cheers.
Cheers.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. All character names, sound effects, and quotes are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Thought Bubble Audio Studios, unless otherwise indicated.